This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The commercial reasons for the president's trip to Africa today.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. President Obama is on his way to Africa for a week-long trip that'll take him to Senegal, South Africa, and Tanzania. The president's visit is in part aimed at increasing U.S. trade and investment on the continent. Marketplace's Noel King looks at why the president is going now.
Mwangi Kimenyi of the Brookings Institution jokingly calls this a guilt trip. Obama has spent one day in sub-Saharan Africa since taking office. Meanwhile, Kimenyi says, you know who has been visiting and investing in Africa? China, Brazil, India, Turkey.
There is a clear concern by the U.S. government that, you know, things are changing in Africa and these countries seem to be gaining an advantage over the United States.
Steve Radelet, author of Emerging Africa, says there's still this perception in the U.S. that the whole continent is corrupt and unstable.
We're going to have to start talking about investing in South Africa or Tanzania or Ghana as opposed to investing in Africa, much the way that we talk about investing in China or Vietnam or Thailand and not so much about investing in some sort of generic Asia.
Radelet and others say if the U.S. doesn't invest in those stable African countries, we might be left behind. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
I was just looking at the chart for the key stock index in Shanghai over the last week. It's not a happy sight. A jittery slide downward along with today's 0.4% drop. What's going on is China's government stepping in to quash lending in what it sees as an overly exuberant banking system, especially the part that lies outside formal state control. And where does the world's second largest economy go from here? Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
China's central bank reassured investors it would ease up on the credit squeeze that sent markets into panic earlier this week. But it's left a lot of economists like Will Hess, head of research at PRC Macro Advisors, wondering what's next.
I think what they're preparing for is trying to clean up the financial sector so it's better prepared to support what I think will be a pretty large internal liberalization agenda coming up later this year.
China's new leadership came into power promising liberal economic reforms. Hess says this could be an early move in that direction. Instead of punishing China's $3 trillion shadow banking sector, Hess thinks part of China's reform will be to bring this industry out of the shadows. Doing so would hurt China's big state banks, but it would offer more lending options for Chinese companies that don't belong to the government. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Now some more numbers. The FT100 stock index in London currently is up more than 1%. The Dow went up 100 points yesterday, 0.7%. The 10-year bond yield is up to 2.58% now. Mark Rich has died. Ring a bell? The fugitive commodities trader and financier pardoned late in Bill Clinton's second term. He was 78. Rich founded the company that became Glencore Xstrata. In the early 80s, he ran off to Switzerland ahead of indictments for trading with Iran during an embargo and tax evasion. Rich's wife was a big donor to the Democratic Party in the U.S. and to the Clinton Library. The Clinton administration contended Rich's case should have been a civil one and not criminal.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM. p.m.
In 21st century America, jobs for life are rare. For those lucky enough to have jobs with retirement packages, with the many jobs comes many a retirement plan, which all send quarterly statements that need tracking. Patty Hirsch, senior producer of personal finance here at Marketplace, has been considering the sometimes confounding proliferation of all those portfolios. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you, David.
So is it likely that people will end up with really a hodgepodge of plans, a hodgepodge of quarterly statements?
Absolutely. A bushel, a cluster. I mean, it depends on how many jobs you have. And these days, people are changing jobs, you know, like they change their underwear. I mean, it's like people are ending up with all sorts of retirement plans when they move from one job to another. And suddenly, five jobs later, you find when you look at your retirement accounts and you're trying to consolidate or trying to get your retirement sorted out, that you've got five different plans at five different employers. And it can be really difficult to keep track of.
So you do see it as a problem?
Oh, it can be, yeah, because these plans can be really, really tough to manage. I mean, you've got to keep an eye on all of them. You've got to declare them all at tax time, apart from anything else. You've got to make sure that you're addressing is up to date on each one. You've got to keep an eye on the companies too, of course, you know, because you know, companies can go under and their retirement plans can have problems when they do that.
So if you do feel overburdened by all these different statements coming in and need to track everything, which I think is crucial, what might you do?
Well, you can consolidate them. That's to say, roll them all up together, although not all entirely together, because you've got two types of retirement account, of course, the ones where money has gone in before tax, like a 401k, and the ones where the money goes in after tax, like an IRA, and you've got to keep those separate. But otherwise, you can actually kind of bundle them all together. And if you can keep an eye on them, you can just have these two neat little stacks of retirement accounts and manage them much more easily that way.
All right, so consolidate if you can get your act together to do so. But is there really a downside to that, possibly?
Well, there can be because, you know, company plans can be a lot more flexible than IRAs, right? So you can lose out on some perks when you roll out of a company plan into your own IRA. In some cases, you can borrow from the company plan, so you lose that perk. And often a company plan will let you invest in its own stock, and rolling that into an IRA could lose you some tax benefits. On the other hand, if you wanted to use your money that's in an old company plan to pay for a school or for a home, you'd have to roll it into an IRA rather than your new company's plan. So, you know, you want to make sure that you work out what it is that you want to do with your life and what it is that you want to do with your money before you actually get into this consolidation business.
Patty Hirsch, Senior Producer, Personal Finance here at Marketplace. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And Swissair Flight 17, Zurich to New York's JFK, arrived a wee bit light. It contained a shipment of $100 bills that was supposed to be routed through the U.S. Federal Reserve. When they counted what was supposed to be $48 million at a Fed facility in New Jersey, the shipment was $1.2 million short. There are conflicting reports about whether or not a little hole was discovered in a cargo area. And just because this story involves JFK Airport, site of notorious heists, and New Jersey, ditto, doesn't mean that Switzerland is off the hook. Neither the airline nor the Fed is commenting. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.